best in the business is on the biggest college football station in the country. It's Mr. College Football, Tony Barnard, presented by Cigna, together all the way.
Tony Barnard with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Tony, this could be a trap game, and a lot of people are calling it a possible trap game with Texas A&M coming into Athens tomorrow. And this leads into the possible disaster that the SEC could be going into if Georgia loses this game and then beats LSU. Could a two-loss SEC champion be on the outside looking in when we talk about the playoff?
Absolutely. And that's why I told somebody yesterday, I said, this was a Georgia fan. I said, here's why you've got to beat Texas A&M. Because could an 11-2 SEC champion get in? Yeah. But they could also get left out. Because we got a bunch of one-loss teams that are clamoring. And let's just put it would be a very, very sleepless night for Georgia fans if they were to lose to Texas A&M and then beat LSU. There is no guarantee that they get in.
We talked about the idea of we're going to take our ball and go home. If the SEC is not represented, or it's only one in a year where they thought it could have been two, it really does become interesting because we keep asking when the expansion to eight is going to happen. It's when the right people get angry.
Sure. That's exactly, well, you know, when the current playoff system goes back to the 2011 season when LSU and Alabama had a rematch in the Sugar Bowl for the national championship. That day, or before that day, is when the impetus started to go to a 14 playoff. So, yeah, that is absolutely an issue. But as my coach used to tell me, he said, well, if you have a problem with any of this, then just win. And then you got no problems.
Tony Barnhart with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. We talk about this possible trap game with Texas A&M. It's going to be probably a wet field, and you've got 1, 2, 3 offensive players in the backfield of Texas A&M that can run with the football very, very well.
They can run with the football well. They were slow to get the running game started, but they have shown in the last few games they are leaning hard on that running game. And Kellen Mond, the quarterback, is very athletic. He's very elusive. I think Georgia has to count. I know it drives the Georgia people crazy, but you need for this to be an ugly game. And Georgia needs to use that offensive line and DeAndre Swift and just enough passing to win this game at home. I think both teams are set up to play in this kind of game. And Georgia may be a little bit better, have a little bit better setup than Texas A&M does.
They played one of these already. They played sort of a muck-it-up type football game. The Kentucky game that people just weren't happy about is that type of environment that we're talking about.
Well, that's a great example, Chris, is that Kentucky game, Georgia played that game exactly the way it wanted to play it. They said, we're going to stay conservative. We're going to let the other guy make the mistake. And son of a gun, Kentucky made two mistakes, and Georgia won 21-0.
That's
the kind of game. Yeah, exactly.
With this offense, Jake Fromm's going to do what he's required to do. Do you think he's coming back to Georgia next year? Everybody just assumed he was going to be leaving at the start of the season.
I think it depends on how the postseason plays out. Okay, if the postseason plays out and Georgia gets into the playoffs and does something special, then you turn and you ask the NFL people you trust, what are we really looking at? If he's in the first half of the first round, or he's a first round pick, you got to go. Now, if you're in the top of the second round or the middle of the second round, then you got a decision to make. Do you come back to play with what will be a very, very talented team and improve your draft stock? It all depends on how the numbers come back from the NFL.
Dave Aranda is, I believe, the highest paid coordinator when it comes to defense in the SEC, and some would say he's not exactly earning his money at LSU. How concerned are you about this defense?
Not as much as a lot of other people seem to be. I mean, you knew that. Listen, I was at Tuscaloosa when LSU won there a couple of weeks ago. It was like they had won the Super Bowl. It was easily one of the biggest wins in LSU history because of what it meant. You knew they were going to come out flat against Ole Miss. Now, nobody expected them to give up 400 yards rushing. I'll grant you that. But I think things will go a little bit smoother this week against a bad Arkansas team. So I'm not as concerned about the LSU defense as a lot of people seem to be.
As we look at the top four playoff teams, Clemson is off. We could talk more about them as they take on South Carolina next week. But speaking of South Carolina, what did you make out of what the president had to say? First of all, we explored the buyout, but now we support Will Muschamp.
I loved it. The president's like, okay, we support Will Muschamp, and we didn't contact Florida State, and this time we really mean it. Don't you know Muschamp is sitting there going, what in the world am I involved in?
Well, now Tony's got a problem in recruiting. It's going to work against him. Somebody's going to say whatever it is they're going to say in recruiting. The president of the school, it's a really good example of a guy who was smart enough to become president of a university not being smart.
Well, and here's the thing, because you know Will Muschamp. Hey, Ray Tanner's a coach. Ray Tanner, the athletic director, is a national championship baseball coach. He knows how these things work. And you know that Ray Tanner's got to be going to the president. What are you doing? Okay? This is the last thing we need because we're trying to hold recruiting together. We've got a big game coming up with Clemson. This is the last thing you need to say. So I think by the end of this week, I think the president understands. I understand this. He's a great guy, if you want to understand. Great military background and all that. But when these presidents start delving into athletics, it's just as Richard Petty used to say, this is a different racing deal.
Hey, Tony, in the big name schools, we used to hear about Auburn more than any. When I first moved down here, and then certainly through the late 90s, the one big booster, the guy who sort of leads the booster charge, could cut the biggest check or certainly rally people up to gather up the money if we all cut checks in this. Do you know the name? And I don't mean you professionally. We don't seem to know their names as much. Was that a conscious decision? For as much as these guys want to brag, look what I did for old U, and they want to walk around telling everybody how great they are and what they are for the program. Was there a conscious decision even amongst those people to cut it out? Because people knowing your name is not good for the program.
No, it's not. It's not. And, yeah, those guys do. They do try to speak softly and carry a big stick so they are not known. But, yeah, but listen, every school has had one or two of those. For Auburn, it used to be Bobby Lauder a long time ago. He was the guy. Now Jimmy Rain, the Yellowwood guy, is a big part of what goes on in Auburn. So the Auburn thing is going to be fascinating to me, guys, because if Auburn loses to Alabama, then Auburn's losses will have been to number one, to number 10, to number four, and to number five. That's their losses. And suddenly Gus Malzahn just can't coach a lick, okay?
I like what you said about, speaking of fascinating, the possibility of a guy by the name of Mike Leach coming to the SEC and coaching at Arkansas. Oh, that would be something.
Please let it happen. Please let it happen. the entertainment value has gone down so much since Les Miles left the conference. We really need Mike Leach. We really do. And he would be perfect. He would be perfect in Fayetteville, Arkansas. That's where he would, because he loves living at places that are sort of off the beaten path. You know, Pullman, Washington, Lubbock, Texas. He has a place down in Key West. He would love Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Tony, everybody has their highs and their lows, and nobody's immune. And we've talked about it: Oklahoma, USC, Tech, Alabama. Who I think, again, the number was 54-46 before Nick rolled in. But is this Arkansas thing as bad as it's gotten for this conference in terms of what in the holy hell actually happened to you people?
It's terrible. It's terrible what has happened to Arkansas. But they didn't. As somebody said, Bobby Petrino put his motorcycle in the ditch and took the Arkansas program with him, and they're still in the ditch. Okay. They won some games under Brett Bielema, but he couldn't sustain it. And Chad Morris walked into a situation that you thought was fixable, and it wasn't, because they just couldn't find a quarterback to do it. So they got to get this hire right, because if they don't, man, they may be in the ditch for a long time to come.
Tell Tony what you proposed, or you asked. Could what happen?
Could Bobby Petrino come back?
No. No, and here's why. Bobby Petrino, every president in the country realizes that Bobby Petrino almost put Arkansas into one of the major class action lawsuits you're ever going to see, because every single person who did not get that job that he gave to his assistant, okay, could change, you know, could raise a discrimination lawsuit. The presidents hate that kind of stuff. And then he lied about it to his superiors. And once that all – no, he's not coming back to Arkansas.
All right,
and
let me tear up that plan, Tony.
That's not a well they want to actually revisit, is what
no,
you're saying.
No, sir. That,
once you hear lawsuit or possible lawsuits, yeah, that puts a damper on things.
Hey, Tony, one more thing. The SEC championship game, as we know it, obviously, is there ever going to be, because of the facility here and the way that it works in Atlanta, do you think 10 years from now, there's ever going to be a discussion between now and 10 years from now that the SEC championship game should be someplace else?
No, because they love being in Atlanta. It's centrally located. A lot of their advertisers are based here, and it's a great facility, and it meets all the needs, and everybody can get here pretty quickly. So I have never heard, they did a 10-year deal once the Mercedes-Benz Stadium was created. So I have had no indication that they want to
move. Well, the reason I ask, it seems to be the most anchored thing in college football. Like, if you told me this was going to happen and this was going to happen in 10 years, I could foresee it. I kind of believe that this might be the most – no, anchor's been dropped. As much as anything in the game, the anchor's been dropped to play the SEC championship game here.
Because what it does, it coalesces the entire conference. What is your goal? Our goal is to get to the SEC championship game in Atlanta. And it has been a tremendous source of branding. I got asked in a talk the other night in Orlando, why don't you just do away with the SEC, do away with the conference championship games? I said, well, I can tell you what my friends at the SEC would be. Okay, that'll be $14 million.
Right.
Just cut the check.
Well, think about this, because I read my first article about CBS keeping the SEC, how that contract is up sooner than people think. And at $55 million is Disney, ESPN, are they going to want to really throw all in? Or would the SEC just want to be really wrapped into one network as opposed to taking money from a couple of places? That could be a really interesting negotiation coming up sooner instead of later.
It is a common belief, and I happen to agree with it, that of all the television contracts that exist, the most undervalued property is the SEC on CBS. Because to get the number one game every week from this conference, that $55 million is way under what the value is. And so the next time around, it's going to be very interesting to see who wants to play.
Well, next week should be interesting as well. You've got the Iron Bowl. You've got Clean Old Fashioned Hate. You've got Ohio State, Michigan. So plenty to talk about on a short week. Tony will do it. Enjoy the weekend. And as always, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Talk to you next week.
Thanks,
Tony. Tony Barnhart with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.